I'm Cindy Temi.
I'm Gracie May.
And I'm Oloweo.
And we are
Frobeats,
your favourite Afropop podcast. Oh, episode
six.
And so what
They weren't going to know
that on the podcast.
I'm Valley Music. I have my latest single Sundela out now, so make sure you check it out.
Hi guys, my name is Tracy Selassie and I have my EP coming out very soon, but I have my lead single, Somebody, which is pretty much out right now.
It's out right now. So go check it out.
And my name is Princess Wonder. I've got my number one hit single from iTunes World Music, Bank Stops, out now.
Hey,
yeah, we love you. We're on this couch, honestly.
Thanks for coming back, ladies.
Thanks for coming back. That's what we should have said, Cindy.
Yes, Cindy. Yes.
So this week, I wanted to bring us a conversation just because we know that rules are lifting. Obviously, it's bank holiday weekend now by the time this episode's coming out.
Carnival weekend.
And so we know that the laws are changing, but there are a lot of laws that are now sort of coming into play that are going to really affect how the community, how the people are feeling about just how we're going to be able to live our lives. So just want to talk about a few of those laws.
I'm going
to
jump in, sister, before you can even say so. Question to you ladies on the couch. Obviously, being Nigerian myself, I already know the answer. And I know all of us are Nigerian. So I want to know from... Oh, you're Nigerian too.
Yeah.
But the new laws say that you can't have weddings with more than 30 people. Total. That's mother, father, bridal train, aunties, uncles, cousins, flower girls, page boys, photographers, videographers,
priests,
wow.
Makeup
caterer.
What?
The person that came to your...
The staff alone is 30 people.
And you know, like, those times when you have to get your church pastor to pray, even though there's a pastor at the
Two pastors. So in our African community, is that going to be possible? Like, are you still getting married, or are you just doing registry? Because I really need to know. 30 people, is it possible?
And it has to be a really big venue for it to hit 30 as well.
Yeah, because they still have to be... sorry, I really just...
Oh,
I just fondled you. I'm so sorry.
Two meters.
No! Sorry, you still have to be a meter apart. She really said something very disgusting.
You don't want to share.
I hope the audio picked that up. I can't repeat. I'm a child of God. She said... I said I just fondled you. She said, eat out to help out.
Yay!
I'm just...
Because you're a snack.
I'm a snack.
Sorry. So, can you have a wedding with 30 people with your family members in this community? Is it possible?
For a white wedding, yeah.
Oh. As in,
your white wedding, or if you were a white person?
For a white wedding.
Oh, okay.
We gotta leave that ambiguous.
Oh,
got it?
Okay.
I mean, try is not gonna happen.
Okay, so
you mean because by the time all the people that came to your home introduction, you know the introduction they do just in the house,
that's my point.
So let alone then, you know, their family from Canada, you know, the ones that went to Germany,
me personally, I would actually
prefer a small intimate wedding.
Okay.
That's what I would prefer, but. You know, traditionally, it just won't.
But 30 is very intimate. That's 15 each side.
Can you imagine your husband?
I'm not going to have brides.
Could you cut it down to that?
I kind of felt, yeah.
15 people on your side.
How many siblings do you have?
She just
Is it that you're doing the math or you're deep in the ones that you're going to not invite and you don't want to share?
It's a real big something. But no, that's just my preference anyway. But obviously, we know that's not really going to
do the rest.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love you, yeah, but I'm gonna send you the Zoom link.
I was carrying like a baby.
You know what I'll do? To avoid all of those situations, I'll tell them these are all the people that have to come. And say, I'm really sorry, there's only 30.
What about anticipation?
It's not even 30, you get 15 because it's 30 for you and your husband.
Yeah, yeah, but then that's how you reason, because in those, you know when African aunties, they want to come at you, like, you have to give them all the facts.
You have to speak to Boris.
I don't want to
take it up with
Sydney. Retrospectively, so auntie, I'm really sorry, but I only have 15 people, and you know, by the time you invite mum, dad, grandma, granddad, and you actually are not part of the family, so therefore...
You want your mum to report it to your mum.
Because my mum should have been wise enough to send that message before I got there. I don't want to have to deal with that.
I don't think I can talk to mum like that.
I'll just ignore the calls and the message.
Before they've called you, they've already got a photocopy of the invite. She said, ignore the call. They will see you there.
But I feel like my mum's a real one. Like my mum, she already said, if you don't want them there, they're not there. Like my mum knows.
So that's it. I feel bad for like parents, because in that moment, obviously, you know, with their weddings, they want, that's when they want to dance in with their friends. You know what I mean? With the traditional wedding.
But then you'll give them, like in that situation, like, there's no way that I'm not going to want my mum to have fun. So that auntie that I can't stand, but it's her bestie. I'm just giving an example.
Wait, so sure. In the background, I'm sitting around you saying, oh, that's sweet, meaning that's not you. No,
the thing with me is I've always wanted a destination wedding.
Small, that if the wedding is France, Spain, they will meet you there.
In those situations, if you really don't want them there, you should give them very minimal information. So you can tell them where
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, you shouldn't even, that's the, you shouldn't give them information to find.
Quarantine
period is. was moving on.
Except we're putting a pin in it.
Yes, oh. Is everyone all right? Should we take a second? And it's okay. Inhale. Exhale. Okay, so the second point. Second law that's been passed during this period has been about the parties, the illegal parties that have been having. Relax, okay? So it's the illegal parties. So if you are having an illegal party and you get found out, you're going to get fined £10,000, up to £10,000 fine. Ooh. And if you are at the party itself, £100 fine.
So if you threw the party, the 10k is on you. Mm. But if you attended the party, then it's £100.
Also, it's less if you...
You're right, Sydney.
My birthday, for instance.
No, it's up to 30 people, right?
Oh, is that the... I guess technically that will have to be the one.
Yeah, I think it's up to 30. So it's more than 30.
But I think part of the reason for making it illegal is the idea
it's
that...
It's bank holiday. That's what... It's going to change probably on
that's,
next week.
That's quite smart. But I think it's also because people are just running parties in parks. Like, that's
yeah, it's a bit...
That is, that's
I've seen block parties where they're inhaling each other's saliva. You're right, guys. Yeah. We're in the middle of a pandemic. So
no clubbing for you then, for a while.
Are you trying to draw me out? Because I definitely was like... This weekend.
How was it?
No, you know what's really bad? I know, I'm going to confess my sins, guys. I'm sorry. I actually went to Shisha. I went to Shisha.
It's okay.
That doesn't make sense. That we're sharing pipe. Yeah. You were there too.
I went home.
Sharing pipe with people.
After Burner Boy. Are we
going
to...
Are we going to talk about that?
We want to be invited to the next one.
Okay, cool. Okay, so how do you guys feel? About those rules? Do you think it's too much? Do you think the government are just trying to take control?
And will you risk it for a biscuit?
No, chocolate. Depends what the biscuit is.
Or slow wine.
Slow wine.
I'm sorry, guys.
I hope so, Dad. I hope so, Fish.
I mean...
This is not small £100. Not small £100. I do.
For us, just with this whole pandemic, so I personally just won't go to any...
Events.
I've been getting invites for like parties. I'm just like,
I'm is your EP launch party gonna be more than 80 people?
If you like,
don't
The way we're gonna set it up is we are going to really try and stick to the rules. We are really going to.
So you're not getting there, but you're inviting people to come to your distance.
We're inviting people,
it's not
but
that 10k cannot be on her.
But
her event.
Wait a second.
I couldn't attend. I only.
That's
not
me.
Obviously, we're gonna make sure that we keep to
the distance,
you know, with the whole 2 meters distance and set up in a way where it's not gonna actually be that many people. We're not gonna have like over.
There's a loop zoom.
Oh, I mean, there's a Zoom link as well, so that just to kind of keep that. Do you know what I mean? And we're trying to keep, you know, we're trying to obviously invite as many people.
As
the same,
yeah.
But not physically, not just physically, but obviously through the Zoom link as well. So,
and
so
the thing is, it's only private organized parties that are down are under these restrictions. So, that actually, if you were to do the party in a venue that can hold 150 people safely,
so if they have a license,
that's
all right.
It's when you're going to the park and you're doing,
sorry, it's racist.
Explain,
they weren't saying this before they saw black people turning up in the parks. Mm. Pubs have been having people elbow to elbow.
Yeah.
No, you're kind of right.
I get it, and I get it. We're more at risk, so I'm not saying
so it's
wrong,
for our benefit.
Right? But I'm just...
But they're finding us.
I mean, I watched the Champions League. Did you see that they were all social distancing when I was... during the Champions League, because show that I watch football, I can do it all. But then they were like, it was just like, you know, just think, it's one rule for some people and one rule for another.
I completely agree. That's the reason I asked the question, because I feel like I've been seeing a lot. And I spoke to one of my friends yesterday. She was telling me a story about, like, she was at a party that got raided by the police.
Is it?
And, like, was just locked off and so on. And the story's
they get fined. You can't find police officers.
So
find me.
what are you going
to
do?
I wasn't at the party. I think to understand why there was nice.
And they pick up an invite. Cindy Temi invites you
too.
Who said that?
But no situation. Like, and she got really frustrated, and she actually started talking to the policeman, and she was saying that you guys are just targeting us and so on and so forth.
Oh, 100, they're always... Let's not forget, at the beginning of quarantine, you guys would have seen it trending on Twitter. huge party in the Midlands, I want to say, with loads of white people. There was drugs, somebody was raped, somebody, two people were stabbed.
Wow.
Where were the fines then, bro?
Yeah, yeah.
Manchester.
Yeah, yeah. And what is the thing that's like you said, a really good point, actually, in terms of, is it bank holiday weekend that's triggering this, that they're putting it just in time because they know that all of a sudden it's going to be manic. But then who are you targeting at this time? When it's bank holiday weekend and we know that carnival's not happening,
This is
what I mean in terms of like the government needs to be smarter. It's the same way that what's that police, the chief constable of the Met Police, the woman, her surname is Diksha, but that is actually her surname. That's what I know her for.
Okay.
Her first name is like Carrera or something like that.
Okay.
But she during this whole Black Lives Matter like movement in terms of everything being so loud. She was the one who ended the Steve Lawrence. She said that we're putting an end to the case because
I saw that.
In the middle of the situation.
She said there was no more.
At some point in time, we have no more leads. And she said that when they were saying that, don't you think that this is something you should wait for?
Yeah.
This is something you should probably wait until
things are done. Thing.
Exactly. She said that no, like at the point in time when there's no more leads, we need to cut it dry. And it's like, so we
can't. The only case.
Sounds like her higher ups were telling her you better call the plug.
She is the higher up.
There's no one higher than her.
No, no. Apart from literally like the College of Policing and maybe like the National Crime Agency, it's her. So she's pulling that plug and she's making that decision on behalf of in the midst of it. And that's why I feel like when there's so many examples of people doing this to us, like when you hear rules like that, you just you consistently feel marginalised.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you, and I say every week, when Glastonbury they're doing their lines of this. They're dissolving their nose on that. They're using the Portaloo lid to be doing this and that. They will never report the full crack this. But when it comes to Notting Hill Carnival, every year there was two stabbings. Somebody was shot. Somebody used a
bomb. X, Y, and Z.
It's an active was smoking weed. Okay, but what was happening at Glastonbury?
People were selling that stuff inside. Like, I thought they went to check people before they get in.
Okay.
Even during the protest.
Why are you over-reporting? Like, not to say that drugs are good, because stay in school and drugs are bad, but, like, if everybody's... can you just be neutral?
And also, let's just really deep. I've said this so many times. If black people are 3% of the population, we are not smoking all the weed. Leave us alone.
Where do we get it?
Who's really in charge of this exactly, and why are you always
how's it getting in the country?
Yeah, there's so many more questions that they should be addressing.
Because
you know, every time somebody black gets caught with drugs on it, remember the story of the two black girls that went to Ghana or Nigeria, I can't remember which one, and then they were caught with drugs and they made it the frontline news. Two young girls being brought in £100. I said £100.
And that's when you're Nigerian as well, they're not British anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm over it. Next. Sorry.
Speaking of that, so Sean Bailey this week has also published that there is going to be, he wants to, so just in case anybody doesn't know who Sean Bailey is running for London Mayor. The elections would have happened, but obviously COVID had happened. So he's putting himself up for London Mayor. He's a black man. He's a conservative black man. We should make sure that that is very clear. Mm-hmm. And has some complicated views in terms of things like white privilege, religion, just basically anything that you would think is for the community. That's Sean Bailey in a nutshell. But what he has done is that he has put forward a proposal to say that there should be random drug testing, essentially, for drugs like cocaine in businesses, like in central London businesses and so on.
Oh, we kind of know that's going to affect.
Yeah, that's a bit of
all working from home.
I don't mind.
I mean, right now they're all working from home, it's just going to be almost everyone. Really,
that's actually a really good point in terms of actually, are you doing it? Because personally, my view of Sean Bailey is that he has lost the black vote. People are not, they're not lost. They're not lost on him. They know exactly what he's about. Mm-hmm. Like when you start saying, so some things that he said to just make sure it's clear, he said that we shouldn't be using terms like white privilege because it marginalizes white people and makes them feel like they can get involved in the
process. What about us?
I personally think that he's lost this vote. It's very clear.
Do you even have it?
In maybe 2006, it was said that 10% of the people in London are black. So the majority of black people in the country actually live in London.
London.
He's lost the black vote, and I think now he's running scared because it's becoming very
clear.
What
do you think would happen?
But if he's testing in like the corporate sphere, whose vote is he trying to get there?
That's because what I mean, because
he's lost the black people. He's trying to lose the white
people. Because I'm saying the book was right on
he's
us.
I think he's doing it to get the black vote.
No,
because we're sitting here.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Space isn't there.
But we're sitting here right now talking about the idea that we are picked. We are picked for
he's
the,
trying to show
for
that
the lowest class of drug.
So if we're
all of now we're sitting here talking about the fact that the lowest class of drug, weed, which now you can actually smoke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
How is he going to compare class B drug?
Do you know what I mean? So, you've got situations where laws have been somewhat relaxed in a class C drug. You've got class A drugs that we know that no one's doing anything about. Mm-hmm. And now he's brought in this rule for London.
But do you know what it's actually going to do? It's just another reason for us to be targeted. Because really and truly, they put in this law, yeah? The police are not going to be going to their supervisors to test the supervisors.
Yeah, they're not
going to
do that.
They're not going to corporates that
test
run
the Mike Whiting's are the ones that are going to start testing.
They're not going to the banks because the banks have the money.
And even if they do it, it's going to be rigged. Like, feel like it's going to be rigged.
So,
listen,
on the rigging, they're just going to come back and target
us. Stop and search. Stop and search isn't race-based. Stop and search is supposed to be random. Same way, in the corporate world, there are many black women and men in the corporate world. So there's going to be like, oh, it just happened to be you.
Mm.
You know, you're part of the, what's the new...
BAME.
Thank you. God bless you, Saki. We're reading my mind. Okay. Yeah, the BAME community. Yeah, you know, we're trying to make sure we're being diverse.
Being
and in
fair.
So doing, we're picking at random, so it's fair.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, but...
I think if he's going to do that, and that's actually a really good point, I think in that situation, what we should be asking for, because one thing that I keep saying that after everything that happened with the A-level U-turn and obviously the free school meals U-turn, is that I feel like in this period we can demand
anything
from the government. So what I would be saying actually, and you just made a really good point, is that if there's only for 13% of us that are BAME, you need to make sure your random stops are only 13%. That should be an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Put a lid on that 13%. When you get there, stop stopping people.
Yeah. I love you so much, Ola. You're so optimistic. Because we can say it. Who's going to hold him account? Because
there might be one black person in an office, for example, of 40 people. That person better not get picked. That's all I'm saying.
Even if he does, he's not going to get...
It's a
slight thing. I'm taking for your opportunity.
They'll find something that they want to... make a thing about.
We picked him because he's still on probation.
But do you feel like...
I'll find a reason. More black people are doing cocaine than you think, my dear.
But then do you think... So this is me being devil's advocate here. So like in this situation...
Sorry, let the Lord use you.
So
yes.
Angels advocate.
Thank
you.
So this is me being angels advocate here. Cut that bit out. do you think that, do you feel like because we are so used to being down, I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Are you going to tell us we have a chip on our shoulder?
No.
Man.
No, do you think, because we're so used to it, that actually in some situations that may be for us, we find it difficult to see that it's for us. Like, is it me being super optimistic that actually the government can find a way?
Okay, hold on. Let's test it. Valley, is she being super optimistic or do you feel like it's just another reason for us to be targeted?
Yeah, I think it's always a reason to be targeted. I don't know if I'm being pessimistic, but I feel like we're a long way. Maybe they're trying. Who knows? I mean, we had the Black Lives Matter and I think it woke up a lot of issues.
We still have the funds, by the way.
1.2 mil in their account. Nobody knows where it's going. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't digress. Cindy, troublemaker.
No, but we're both
bring some points.
What is it being used for? Have they said exactly what
they released a statement saying that they're not going to spend anything until they're sure what to spend it on.
I
can give you a list of things.
How about make
help
sure
the
young
kids black youth that are, you know,
free travel, give that back against
the
project.
This is me. Like, I feel like what happened to them is that they grew too quickly, too fast. Because I actually, emailed them, and when this was happening, when it was
of course she did.
When this was happening, I literally said to them, I was like, you need some form of risk management program because this is about to get very big. And this was before the funding was growing. I was like, you're going to find yourself in a situation that you've got way too much money that you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You've not addressed this, you've not addressed this, you've not addressed this.
And we don't, a charity.
At this point, yeah, and I said, at this point in time, we don't even know who the faces of the organisation are.
Right.
And
yeah.
If that's the case, then why was everyone so quick to throw money at it?
Because no one misses
the nation. That was your fault. When you were adding your £5, who asked you?
I'm not going to lie. I don't see a face behind what I'm doing.
If I don't understand what it is,
I'll go out, I'll protest.
I think that a lot of people didn't understand what it was. Like, let's say, like, white people who wanted to help and were like, you know what, I want this problem to go away.
Charity!
Because I'm so tired of seeing
this. Blacks on charity again. Nobody did. If we're saying Black Lives Matter is about institutional racism, how was 1.2 million ever going to help that anyway?
Yeah,
it's not enough. What was it meant to do?
But
you're going
to
pay them to stop being racist.
I do think there are ways, though. But I just think
there are ways, but when in that moment when you were giving your £5 and your £10, what were you hoping was going to happen? Mm-hmm. If the money's not used, it's your own fault. Nobody cajoled you. Oh,
did anybody here give any money?
No.
I didn't give
money. I'm black.
I gave money to the Ahmaud Arbery one.
Yeah,
so I did the run with Maud, and then I gave money and I told people to.
And what was the money that you gave? What was that?
It was for his funeral.
Oh, so that was
exactly where that was going.
Yeah. And then they actually raised more, and then they did it towards the case, and that's how they got so much more information.
Okay.
Because they did a second, autopsy. They found out they were lying about the fact that he was inebriated.
Mm.
It's a bloody joke. But anyway, so essentially.
So that's our value. Sorry, we're getting along.
Yeah.
Pessimistic, do we have a chip on our shoulder, or do you think it's another way for us to get targeted?
Allah, you know I love you, girl. But I do think it's just another way of us being targeted.
So you think Sean's just playing that card?
Man, I don't know what kind of card he's playing, but he's playing some really ugly card right now, and it's just very...
Techie.
Yeah. Very, very techie. But yeah, I don't know how the government is really going to really help with this until... I see some strong black women in there who are really going to do something. Mm. But when is that going to happen?
Coming. Coming. You're on your way. Amen.
Honestly.
Princess Wanda.
Okay. So, sister, wait. I think this is it's a double-sided, it's a double-edged sword with this thing. Because on the one hand, I don't really believe there is, and I might be a pessimist in saying this, but I don't really believe this... country, okay, they're colonialists by nature. They consume. Mm-hmm. So any law for me is to better their agenda, no matter what way you put it. However, I do feel people such as yourself, black women, I think, bro, we're superheroes. That's the real thing that's hidden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are so many things that are in our ability to do that the moment we tap into it, we can unhinge the system, but it's a day at a time thing.
But you see, here's the thing as well, right? Before we tap into that, here's my thing. I personally think that we need to build a security.
Because they're killing us. They're making us feel like we're less of people. We need to build a security
before we can even start building our own
security.
Leave Sean
the street, man. Like, do I mean, even include, like, just build some form of security around whatever it is, around us.
Mm-hmm. But I think they'll dismantle that as soon as they know.
That's what they're doing.
That's the constant battle. That's what the security is for, is to fight back, because we know already they're going to come for us.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it before in the past so many times.
They've been doing
so we need to build a security where we know that, okay, once we start building our thing and we start, you know, black-owned business, everything, we know they're going to come for us. So, yes, let's get ourselves ready. Mm. Let's have our army
like Black
ready.
Wall Street.
Mm. Thank you. What that do they do
sense,
with that?
Yeah.
They like,
give a woman small money, she will create an
But not just security, like physical, but with our mindset.
Yeah.
Mindset that as well. Sense. Do you know what I mean?
So, this was actually when I emailed Black Lives Matter, what I was saying, that you need to create, you need to figure out what you're going to do to make sure every department that is currently making people, like, that is currently exhibiting institutional racism,
you can't
as a result...
money into it.
No, but then as a... Let me land. And then as a result of, like, it's affecting our community, you need to make sure there's a solution for that department.
Mm.
So you basically need... You need to make yourself the consultant. Mm. So it needs to be like, Black Lives Matter are going to the education system to solve this thing.
Yes.
We have now spoken to the community as we have given them, we've got the platform to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the majority want. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is that we need the voice. And that's what, that, like, even though Black Lives Matter as a movement is trying to just be like talking about all the issues everyone's individually facing. In a country like this, where racism is so covert, you need a voice. I need to speak loud. I need to speak for everyone.
Yeah.
And all those people that don't necessarily agree need to understand that you're not the majority, but we're pushing for the majority of people that this happens for. Mm. And to...
Right.
The sheep ain't gonna do nothing.
Right, so I guess it's not even double-edged for me. I think the first half is, I'm always suspicious of black conservatives because I always think that they've come from a Labour background. They may not have, but in my experience, you've used the system that has built you up just to turn around and be like, no, you didn't work hard enough.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna give, like, the whole concept of lifting as I climb is what, not that I'm a spokesperson for Labour, but the essence of it is we're trying to share it equally, whereas conservatives are very much, we protect us and let the poor people just do what they need to do. So I'm always suspicious of black conservatives anyway. So, but I also don't know if he's like a plant, like if he has been put in to try and just disrupt the things so that some black people vote for him and then some don't, and then we don't have a majority anywhere. But anyway, me and my conspiracy theories, don't mind me. I think the second thing is based on what Cindy said and what I kind of alluded to earlier, is money doesn't solve racism. So even with your, and I love again the solution that you brought, because at least it's a solution as part of this conversation. But even then, if I'm coming to do diversity and inclusion training in the NHS, in education, in the government, they should pay for that. That shouldn't come from funds that have been publicly raised. It's your responsibility. I'll just land on the last point. And even what you guys were saying about, okay, use the money to do free school meals for black people that are poor. That's the government's... Stop it. Like, pull your finger out and do what... Because what are you doing? You're raising my tax. What are you doing with my money?
And that's what I said.
When you were given your £5 and £10, what did you think it was going to do? If, like Valley said, they didn't know how to contribute to Black Lives Matter, they didn't know how to get involved apart from putting a black square on their Instagram, maybe money was their only way. But and however, and also, it shouldn't be on us.
Like when they were telling you all the things you could do, donate here was consistently a theme. Which also didn't help the matter.
I guess in America it's slightly different because obviously they pay for like legal fees towards black people that have been unfairly treated. If they're lawyers, they've had to have lawyers, specialist lawyers coming.
They post bail.
Exactly, things like that. Things that not necessarily the government will provide, but you would generally seek outside of what is available and should be available to you. But here, we don't have that. We have, there's a black lawyer society, but
yeah.
On that point, Black Minds Matter obviously popped up through Black Lives Matter. And I got an email from them this week saying, sorry, it's taken us so long to get back to you guys. We've been trying to find a whole roster of black therapists, but equally, we're prioritizing people that donated to us in terms of allocation, because we had way more people than we did have therapists.
Of course,
so maybe the money could go towards, I mean, obviously, they were fundraising anyway, but maybe more money could be pumped into things like that. But in terms of us not necessarily providing the solution, but building up the people that are affected by it.
Yeah.
As opposed to educating those that perpetrate it, because that's not my problem.
Okay. Then again, we're all affected by racism.
Yes, so then all black people should eat.
I said my point. I genuinely believe like it just doesn't make sense right now because most of us are not in the office. Offices aren't, who are they going to test? How are they going to test them? When are they testing them? Monday evening, Monday mornings, Friday nights? Like how Spot is it going to work? What, you're just going to get
like a fire drill
into the building? We all know how it is to get into a building. You have to go through security. Security calls you. So like things like that. Put people forward who you'd want to be tested. Like, let if you like.
They'll train someone in the company like how to do the fire drill.
I think it's performative. I don't know much about Sean Bailey, but the things I have heard have not really been of benefit to me anyway. And yeah, this just I don't appreciate couldn't like behavior from anyone. So.
Yeah, pull them out, pull them out. I will tell you my view. So I feel like it depends how much we can hold them into account. Because I think one of the things that I've hated about this whole period is how many black people have been stopped and searched because of smelling of cannabis and so on and so forth. And the fact that I've consistently said,
black people. Did you smell me from your car?
Black people are 3% of the population, therefore, how are we smoking all the weed? If we're consistently the only ones being stopped, we need to create something that actually means that the harder drugs and those who actually do them something's going to happen to them. Mm. Whether or not Sean Bailey is the person who should be pushing that when we're so questionable about his, when we question his character, I guess makes me a little bit less optimistic. So, yes. Let us know what you guys think. We've been talking about Sean Bailey. We've been talking about...
Can you have a wedding as an African with 30 people?
And we've just generally been talking about all of the laws and post-quarantine and how it's going to affect the community. Let us know what you think in the comments. Like, share, comment, subscribe, and we will see you next week. But before we do that, we're going to do a little outro. Guys, tell us who you are, where we can find you.
Well, I'm Valley Music. You can find me on my Instagram at Valley_music.
And I'm Tracy Selassie. Find me on all my... I'm Tracy Selassie. You can find me on all my socials. That's TRAYCSELASI.
And you can find me on all my socials at Princess... right, let's do that again. You threw me off.
I'm so sorry.
I was thinking, yeah. So my name is Princess Wanda. You can find me on Instagram at Official Princess Wanda, on Twitter at Princess_Wanda, and on YouTube, Princess Wanda.
_GracieMay.
At Cindy Temi.
At Ola Awea. And we
at
are
Frobeat.
At Frobeat podcast.
See you guys next week.